see each one this evening. We see Jesus. What a wonderful, never-ending thing. We do need to see Him continually in such a way that it has a lasting impact on our entire being, transforming and shaping our lives. We'd like tonight to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll read verses 21 through verse 23. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. We need to hear this instruction from Peter in its setting. Coming to 1 Peter, we come to very troublesome, very trying, very difficult, turbulent, and urgent times for God's people. We see from the very first verse of chapter 1 that God's people had been scattered in five different parts of the Roman Empire. Due to Roman persecution, they've been driven. They've been scattered from their homes, from their families, from their occupations, from their stations in life. It's a time of great loss. It's a time when persecution was inevitable. And the threat of death for God's people was everywhere. A time of great turmoil. No doubt a time of fear. A time of intimidation, perhaps. Throughout the letter, Peter makes mention of their adverse circumstances. It will not take time to look at them, but in chapter 1 and verse 6, he mentions heaviness, which was a great weight and a burden. And this heaviness would come through manifold or numerous and diverse temptations, trials, troubles, problems. Chapter 3, verse 14, we see the word terror, indicative of a terrible time of dread and fear. Chapter 3, verse 16, we read, whereas they speak evil of you, as of evil doers. In chapter 4, verse 4, speaking evil of you. So it was a time of ongoing slander. Also in chapter 4, verse 14, they were reproached for the name of Christ. A contentious and scornful censorship of God's people. Chapter 4, verse 12, we read of fiery, intense, and resolute trial. Reading through 1 Peter, we see there are many references to personal suffering time and time again. Chapter 4, verse 13, you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Chapter 4, verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, Chapter 4, verse 19, we read of those who suffer according to the will of God. It was a time of attack. It was a time of opposition. It was a time of threatening satanic activity. And it's in this setting that we read our text. The theme this year is we see Jesus as our example. So we want to take particular notice of verse 21. Christ leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Preceding our text in verse 19, Peter addresses the subject of enduring grief and wrongful suffering. In verse 20, he reasons between suffering for wrongdoing and enduring suffering for rightdoing. And concerning the latter, enduring suffering for rightdoing, he says that it is acceptable with God. That is, it pleases God when you and I endure wrongful suffering in a godly way. And then coming to verse 21, he says, for even, the word even there is for the sake of emphasis, for even hereunto, or to this, for even to this, referring to suffering when we do good. Hereunto were ye called. We were called to suffer wrongfully. Reading on, verse 21, notice the next word, because. So the reason is next explained. The reason we were called unto this is because Christ also suffered for us. Jesus told his church in John 15, 20, the servant is not greater than the Lord. They have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Going on in verse 21, we read that Christ in his suffering, and as you read the context, he's referring to the cross, has left us an example. Leaving us an example. Then notice that next word. That. What follows is the reason for the example. What follows is the purpose of the example. And what is the purpose of the example? Ye should follow his steps. He hasn't just left us an example for no reason. The reason is that we should follow his steps. Now I believe this also relates to hereunto were you called. In other words, we are called to suffer persecution. And as we suffer persecution, we're to do what? Follow his steps. Hereunto were you called. In this day of distress, agitation, commotion, hear the instruction. Follow his steps. That is, for everyone that is here and saved, that is our life calling. Amen. Follow his steps. That is our life calling. Follow his footprints. Take the same road as Christ. Christ is our example. The purpose of such is that we would follow His steps. The life that we're called to live is very precise. It's very strict. How precise is it? His steps. How strict is it? His steps. That's pretty precise.
Amen.
That's pretty strict. Our subject tonight is Christ, our life calling. Christ, our life calling. I forgot to look at the clock when I got up here. It doesn't matter. I'm going to quit when I'm done.
Amen.
So, Christ, our life calling. It's not our intent to focus upon any one attribute of the perfect person, the perfect life of Jesus Christ. My purpose tonight is to emphasize the life that is summed up by the fact that we are to follow His steps. Some things that I say, I know, will disturb some folks. And that's disturbing. Because nothing I say tonight should disturb any child of God here. First of all, let's just consider Christ set forth as our example. We see the word example is literally underwriting. It was a school word. Teachers would lightly trace the letters of the alphabet so the students could write over and learn to write. The perfect Christ and His perfect life are held up before us as our pattern. It's our standard. It's our precedent. It's an illustration to us. And many scriptures present Him as our example. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Learn of me. He's both the teacher and the lesson. Learn of me. He's our example. John 10:4, Christ portraying Himself says, "He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them." Why does He do that? Well, that's explained in the next words, "And the sheep follow Him." He goes before us as the object to follow. Matthew 4:19, Matthew 8:22, Matthew 9:9, Matthew 16:24, Jesus says, "Follow me." The act is follow. The object is me, Jesus Christ. He's the central object. He's to be the central object of our life. Follow me. Those two words are equivalent to follow His steps. They summarize the Christian life. John 13:15, Jesus says, "I have given you an example." That's always so. We always have His example. That, there it is again. The purpose of giving the example. "That ye should do as I have done to you." The power of an example consists really of two things: its own excellence, and that, of course, is Jesus. But also, as it relates to us. And we see both here in John 13:15. "Do as I have done to you." It's a personal relationship. We see in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ." He's saying, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Christ is set forth as our example. Philippians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Like-minded with Christ. Philippians 3, verse 14, we hear Paul say, "I press toward the mark." What's the mark? Jesus Christ. He's our example. Colossians 2, verse 6, "Walk ye in Him." He's the realm in which we're to live. He's the realm. In our text here, 1 Peter 2:21, leaving us example that we should follow His steps. 1 John 2:6, we're exhorted to walk even as He walked. So all through the Scriptures, Christ is the example. He's the ideal. He's the ideal. Each of these verses reveal that our lives are to be synchronized with Jesus Christ. So you think about the life of Jesus, the earthly life of Jesus Christ. It was a manifest copy of God. Hebrews 1, verse 3, Jesus is the brightness of His glory, the express or the plain image of His person. Man could see what God was like in Christ. In all places, under all circumstances, regardless of the situation, whatever the conditions, He manifested and showed forth God. Always. And we're to do what? Follow His steps.
Amen.
Walk even as He walked. And you, through the Gospels, wherever you see Jesus, whether He was with His disciples, or in the synagogue, or amongst the very enemies of God, or walking the streets, didn't matter. He showed forth God. He showed forth God. And He has left us an example that we should follow His steps. He's our example in holiness. He's our example in mindset. He's our example in oneness with God. He's our example in dependence upon God, in communion with God. He's our example in doing God's will. He's our example in service. He's our example in activity. He's our example in diligence. He's our example in self-denial. He's our example in separation from the world. He's our example in suffering wrong. He's our example in contentment. As Brother Hugin just preached, He's our example in his use of Scripture. He's our example in compassion. He's our example in love. He's our example in forgiving. He's our example in humility and meekness and glorifying the Father, and on we could go. He's our example. Why? That we should follow His steps. Now, if you read on there in our text, He mentions specifically that His walk was without sin, who did no sin. His guileless mouth, neither was guile found in His mouth. His rising above the behavior of those around Him, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not. We see His yielded will, but committed Himself to Him. And we see His quenchless love, who His own self bear our sins. He's our example. He's our example. And the purpose is that we should follow His steps. There is no exact equivalent, but there is to be a resemblance to Jesus Christ. So our main point is the life of following his steps. This is our call.
Amen.
This is our call. Ours is a time when society and culture are under the direction of the spirit of Antichrist. Thoroughly humanistic. The United States is not a Christian nation. It's not. It's thoroughly humanistic. It's secular. It's filled with evolutional thinking. And I'm not just talking about evolution. Evolutional thinking. Progressives. That's evolutional thinking. Individualism. Immorality. Our society and culture is a cesspool of ungodliness. It's a cesspool of vileness and wickedness and abomination. Ours is a society and culture that is corrupt, that is degenerate, it's profane, and it's reprobate. The inclination, the mood, the current, the trend all around us is the spirit of Antichrist. And we live in a day when the momentum of the spirit of Antichrist is ever increasing. It is a time of blatant indifference and rejection of Christ. Most, and I would even include many of those who profess to know the Lord, view Christ as an annoyance. They view Christ as a nuisance. He's an irritation. They resent Christ. They're insulted by Christ. They're enraged by Christ. Just mention his name. And they'll be raised. And we're bombarded with this spirit. And in the midst of such, we need to hear, we need to grasp the instruction, follow his steps. We were called to do this. It's not your calling to fix the politics of the world. That's not your calling. It's not your calling to march on Washington. Your calling is to follow his steps. Follow his steps. This is our calling. So think a little bit about a calling. It's the primary reason we're here. This may come as a shock to some. The primary reason that we're here is not our children. It's not our grandchildren. That's not the primary reason you're here. It's to follow his steps. Our life calling is what identifies us. It's what defines us. It's what shapes us. And our life calling is Christ. Our life calling speaks of our primary loyalties, our aspirations and our pursuits. And our life calling is Christ. Our life calling speaks of that which dominates our lives. It's that which we're intertwined to. And our life calling is Christ.
Amen.
Our life calling is what takes, is what we're most absorbed with. Look around. Is there anybody that believes that those who profess Christ today, that they are absorbed with Christ? I'm sorry, I don't believe it. It's not what I see. It's our life calling is what takes precedence over all else. It's what gives a foundation for our decisions and our choices. And our life calling is Christ.
Amen.
Our life calling is where we concentrate our effort and energy. And our life calling is Christ. Our life calling speaks of our determinations, speaks of our resolve, it speaks of our yearning, our eagerness, our enthusiasm. And our life calling is Christ. In this day, when the majority of those who profess Christ spend and exhaust their energy in worldly matters and busying themselves in worldly pursuits and put more esteem on worldly matters than the Lord, we need a people that feel compelled by their calling to follow His steps. Life calling implies my primary responsibility. And Christ is our life calling. Christ is our calling. Not the secular. Brace yourself. Brace yourself. Not patriotism. That's not your life calling. Well, I have, you know, I put them on this. Many of God's people, they make Christ and patriotism one and the same. I'm here to tell you they're not the same. Patriotism is not our life calling.
Amen.
Now, don't go from here and say, Brother Dan doesn't believe in patriotism. That's not what I said. That may be what you heard, but that's not what I said. It's not a calling. It's not our calling.
Amen.
Here's a shocker. The Second Amendment is not equivalent to the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't make them one and the same. Brother Dan's against the Second Amendment. That's not what I said. It's not our calling.
Right.
Our calling is to follow His steps. Our calling is Christ. Our calling is not a political party.
Amen.
Now, I will assume that most of us, if not all, would consider ourselves Republican or something of that sort. But that's not our life calling.
That's right.
Amen.
Donald Trump is not our life calling.
Amen.
Christ is our life calling.
Amen.
Not a political party. Not personal fulfillment.
Right.
Not our own peace of mind. Not our own happiness.
Right.
What is to identify, define, and shape us is Christ.
Amen.
That's our calling. And it is He that is to be the object and the purpose and the central interest and passion of our life. Not family. Oh, Brother Dan's against family. That's not your life calling. Your life calling is Christ. Not career. Christ. Christ. Not personal dreams. Not personal ambitions. Christ is what gives our life meaning. And if it's anything else that gives your life meaning, purpose, that's sad.
Amen.
It's Christ.
Amen.
Christ is our life calling. Is what Paul declared in Galatians 2:20. Not I, but Christ. Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ. Notice three words. For me, Christ. For me, Christ. That's our calling. He's saying, for me, living is Christ. For me, living is Christ. The reason to get up in the morning is Christ.
Amen.
For me, Christ. He's the motive. He's the stimulus. He's the attraction. He's the pull. He's the draw. Not politics, but Christ. Jesus Christ is the subject, the theme, the message of this book. And He is to be the subject, the theme, and the message of our lives. This is our life call. But it is so very obvious that the vast majority who profess Christ have lost sight of their life calling. We need to hear the instruction. Follow His steps. It is a call to live our lives connected to Jesus Christ. It is a call to live correspondent and parallel to Jesus Christ. It is a call that defines the direction of our lives. It is a call that defines the goal of our lives. What it is it is a call to vertical living in a horizontal world. Christ is a call to focus. It's a call to focus. Christ's instruction, learn of me. What's the focus? Me. Christ. Follow me. He's the focus. Do as I have done. He's the focus. Follow His steps. Walk even as He walked. Jesus Christ is the focal point. The writer of Hebrews gives this instruction. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Consider, that is, fix your mind upon, make careful examination, think upon, ponder, study, meditate upon Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto, that is, view attentively, Christ Jesus. He's the focal point. He is the focal point. He's to be our fixation. He's to be our obsession. Fox News is not to be our obsession. Radio talk shows is not to be our obsession. Christ is to be our fixation. Our obsession. Now don't tell me I wasn't born yesterday. That you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is turn on, I'll just say Fox News, it could be anything. Then the last thing you do before you go to bed is the same thing. Now don't tell me you're obsessed with Christ. You're obsessed with news. You're obsessed with events. And the reason for that is you're scared to death you're going to suffer persecution. But we're called for that. And we're called to follow his steps. Oh, did you hear what Hannity said today? Did you hear what Tucker Carlson, whoever your favorite person is, it doesn't matter. Where is the conversation? Did you read? Did you see this in the Word of God?
Amen. That's right.
We're obsessed with the wrong things. Did you hear what Nancy Pelosi said today? Who cares?
Amen.
We need to hear what the Lord said.
Amen.
We've got a problem. And I'm talking about God's people. And our problem is not Congress. Our problem is ourselves. We're obsessed with the wrong things. And we can't serve God in that condition. We cannot be of much use in that condition. Follow his steps. Christ is to be our fixation. Not self, Christ. Not our pursuits, not our plans, not our pleasures, but Christ. Not our self-advancement, but Christ. Not the headlines, not the events of life. That's not what is to be our fixation. So what you're saying, Brother Danny, is we should just put our heads in the sand. That's not what I said, but perhaps that's what you heard. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah, amen.
I'm simply saying that Christ is our calling.
Amen.
Christ is our calling. I'm afraid many have forgotten. No matter what the headlines can be very upsetting. And what some politician says can ruin your whole day if you get obsessed with that kind of stuff. And if your whole day is ruined because of somebody said something, what use are you in the service of God? No matter what the headlines, no matter what transpires in the political arena, Christ is the focus. Now, this is another message that I won't preach, but I want to show you something in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We see Christ appearing to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. These two disciples, they were talking. They were talking. Verse 14, I want you to notice what they talked about. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. We do that a lot, don't we?
Yep.
Now I know they're talking about the crucifixion and resurrection. I realize that, but there's a point here. All these things which happened. Notice in verse 18, it is the things which are come to pass. It's what they were talking about. In verse 21, you see those words, latter part of the verse, these things, these things. They were caught up in the events of the day. That's where their focus was. In verse 15, they communed together and reasoned. Concerning what? These things. The things which had transpired. Oh, we're good at that. Discussing all the events of the day, discussing the headlines. And what was the result? Well, they were sorrowful. They were discouraged. They were frustrated. They were disappointed. And they were defeated. That sounds familiar. We do the same thing. And that's how we get in that condition. But Christ intervened in all that he would tonight. And he took the word of God. And in verse 27 it says, he expounded unto them, notice the things concerning himself. What's he done? He's redirected their attention. He's redirected the focus. Oh, that the Lord would do that for us tonight.
Amen.
This is how you move from merely surviving to thriving.
Amen.
I'm convinced that a lot of God's people are just in survival mode.
Yeah.
That's not our calling. Our calling is to thrive. You see, many need to take off the political glasses and view everything through the lens of the Lord.
Amen.
That's how we need to view things. We need to realize that the policies and the philosophies and the reasonings, the pursuits of the world and society are all used by Satan to lure, to divert, to hold down and shackle the child of God. And there are many a child of God tonight. If you listen, you can hear the clanking of chains. Because there's many a child of God dragging around a ball and chain. And a lot of times that ball and chain is just events. The happenings of the day. That's not why we're here. God didn't put me here to get all upset and ruin my whole day because of something I saw in the news. That's not why he's left me here. He's left us here to follow his steps. This is a call to commitment, as Brother Hugin just spoke upon. We're to live a life that is bound to Christ. Bound to Christ. And again, I don't have a problem with patriotism. I do have a problem when patriotism is confused with Christianity. Because they're not one and the same. They're not one and the same. I love the United States of America, but it's not equivalent to Jesus Christ. It's not equivalent. I appreciate the flag, what it stands for. But it's not equivalent to the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't confuse these things with serving the Lord. Our allegiance is to be to Christ.
Amen.
Our first allegiance is not to country. Our first allegiance is to Christ, the one who saved our hell-deserving soul. He's our priority. He's to be the object and the aim and the passion of my life. A calling, of course, implies a responsibility. Our main responsibility is to follow his steps. So in closing, we need to see Jesus as our example in life. We need to ask ourselves, And it doesn't do any good to ask ourselves these questions if we're not willing to honestly answer them. If you're not willing to honestly answer them, then don't even bother asking. But how much of our lives are lived with regard to Christ? How much of our lives are spent with attention to Christ? How much of our lives are in the direction of Christ? How much of my life is defined by Christ? What correlation is there between my life and His? How much of Christ is in our purposes? You hear people all the time talking about their plans. Where's Christ in those plans? And it's not for you and I to fit Christ into our plans. He's our purpose. He's our purpose. You fit your plans around Him. You don't try to jam Him into your plans. How much of Christ is the pursuit of our lives? How much do I pursue Jesus Christ? Do we realize that this, making Christ our life, is the best and most useful life that you can possibly live? It's the way to be the best parent you can be, the best church member. It's to realize that our calling is Christ. And that Christ is our calling shows me that this is the life we're called to goes beyond formality. Goes beyond surface. You hang around church long enough, you learn the lingo, you learn how to walk, you learn how to play the part. The life we're called to goes beyond opinion. Goes beyond tradition. It goes to Christ. A life of Christ-likeness. That's to penetrate, that's to possess our entire being. What it is what we read in Galatians 4:19. Christ being formed in us. That should be our lives. Christ more and more formed in us. The way to such is Colossians 2:7, rooted in Him. Our root system needs to go to Christ.
Amen.
Our root system does not go to the Republican Party. It goes to Christ. Well, if you're a follower of Christ, you will be a Republican. Do you hear yourself? Where's our root system?
Amen.
Notice in 2 Corinthians, here's how we get to Christ's likeness. And it's the theme of this conference. Verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Now notice, beholding the glory of the Lord. Beholding is something we do. Beholding the glory of the Lord. When we do that, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Behold Christ. Behold Christ. And the more we behold Him, the more we're changed into His image. And I'll close with Psalm 90, verse 17. We read, and this ought to be our prayer, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And what is that beauty? Christ. Let Christ be all over us. And everywhere we go, people would see Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. Yes, we're to contend for the faith. But how do we do that? Follow His steps. Be Christ-like. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Christ. Oh, that we would get back to our calling. God help us.
Amen.
Let's stand.